Will you please turn again to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But the spiritual discerns all things, and he is discerned of no one. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We begin with the first verse. Then Jesus spake to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have set themselves down in Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they may tell you, do and keep. But do not after their works, for they say and do not, but bind burdens heavy and hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of men, but will not move them with their finger. And all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief place in feasts, and the first seats in the synagogues, and salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But ye be not called Rabbi, for one is your instructor, and all ye are brethren. And call not anyone your father upon the earth, for one is your father, he who is in the heavens. Neither be called instructors, for one is your instructor, the Christ. But the greatest of you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of the heavens before men, for ye do not enter, nor do ye suffer those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and the dry land to make one proselyte, and when he is become such, ye make him twofold more the son of hell than yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple, which sanctifies the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon it, is a debtor. Fools and blind ones, for which is greater, the gift or the altar which sanctifies the gift? He therefore that swears by the altar swears by it and by all things that are upon it. And he that swears by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells in it. And he that swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and ye have left aside the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not have left them aside. Blind guides who strain out the nut, but drink down the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of rapine and intemperance. Blind Pharisees, make clean first the inside of the cup and of the dish, that their outside also may become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like white sepulchres, which appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Thus shall ye also ye outwardly, ye appear righteous to men, but within are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and adorn the tombs of the just. And ye say, if we have been in the days of our fathers, We would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets, so that ye bear witness of yourselves, that ye are sons of those who slew the prophets, and ye filled up the measure of your fathers. Serpents, offsprings of vipers, how should ye escape the judgment of hell? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we begin with verse 1. But seeing the crowds, he went, that is our Lord Jesus, went up into the mountain, and having sat down, his disciples came to him, and having opened his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Blessed the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed they are persecuted on account of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are ye, when they shall may reproach and persecute you, and say every wicked thing against you, lying for my sake. Rejoice and exult, for your reward is great in the heavens. For thus have they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May you have a word of prayer. Lord, as we come into thy presence, and as we are before thy word, we do tremble. We acknowledge, Lord, that thy words are life and spirit. We pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit will quicken thy words to our hearts, that they may not be just letters that kills, but spirit that quickens. Lord, we do acknowledge that we are completely at thy mercy. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Thank God for bringing us together. The theme of this time together is on the spiritual. In other words, true spirituality. We mentioned last night that in the past we have considered together a number of spiritual truth. We talk about spiritual vision. How important that we have vision. We talk about spiritual responsibility, that each one of us is responsible for what the Lord has called and given to us. We also talk about spiritual ministry, that we are not only to minister unto our brothers and sisters as the Levites, but we need to minister to the Lord as the priests. We also mentioned about spiritual authority, how important it is. Because without spiritual authority, there can be no building of the house of God. And together with it, of course, there is spiritual submission that is required of everyone. Submit to one another in the fear of Christ. And also we talk about spiritual house, how we need to build up together into a spiritual house, a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. But as we mentioned last night, that all these truths can only be operative among spiritual men and women. If we are not spiritual, then none of these spiritual truths will be effective, workable. So the first thing that is needed is that we be spiritual in the sight of God. You know, brothers and sisters, we all want to be fit spiritual. And in a sense, I'm afraid, we try to appear spiritual more than what we are really spiritual. It may not be our intention, but unconsciously, probably every one of us is in such danger. So that is the reason why we need to consider very seriously before the Lord about this matter of spirituality, false or true. Our Lord Jesus came to this world to bless. And yet you find, at one time, he proclaimed woe to a certain class of people. In Matthew chapter 23, you find 7 times our Lord Jesus proclaimed woe to the scribes and Pharisees. He called them hypocrites, fools, blind. Verse 13, verse 15, verse 16, verse 23, 25, 27, 29. 7 times you'll find our Lord Jesus proclaim woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Why? Because they are hypocrites. They are acting. They are playing a part on the stage. They are not real. And this is something that our Lord Jesus is deadly opposed to. If you turn to Matthew 23, you will find that these scribes and Pharisees, now who are they? They are a people who sit or who set themselves in Moses' seat. They consider themselves as the disciples of Moses. And as a matter of fact, you'll find that they even sit in Moses' seat. They are not only those who study the law. They are not only those who claim that they keep the law. But they are even those who become interpreters of the law. They decide what is lawful and what is unlawful. They consider themselves as the teachers of all. And yet, they put burdens upon people's shoulders, but they will not themselves even lift a finger. The Lord said, you may listen to what they say, but do not do what they do, because they just do not the things that they teach. They are hypocrites. Do they do anything? Yes, they do. But what they do is all for the sake of being seen and praised by men. They broadened their phylacteries and enlarged the borders of their garments to show that how pious they are. Instead of keeping the law in their heart, they put it on their forehead. They put it on their garment to show that they are a godly people. They love the first seat in the synagogues. They love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, the very word Rabbi means the great one. They are the great one. Not only Rabbi, but even Father. Not only Father, but even Instructor, Guide. They consider themselves as the guides of all those innocent people. They are not the instructed, they are the instructors. Now these are the people that our Lord proclaimed His word upon them. In verse 13, the law said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of the heavens before men, for ye do not enter, nor do ye suffer those who are entering to go in." The first woe is proclaimed to these scribes and Pharisees. Why? Because they stand in the way of the kingdom of God. They do not enter themselves, and even when people are entering in, they forbid them to do so. How do they do it? Well, they consider themselves as the teacher, the interpreters. They consider themselves as those who are in the know. They know everything. And because they think they know everything, therefore, their pride keeps them away from the kingdom of God. You know, when John the Baptist came and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh," they rejected John the Baptist because they thought that they had nothing to repent. They might need some improvement, but they had no need to repent in such a drastic way as to be baptized. That is to bury the past as if there was nothing good of the past. And they had to start all over again. They thought they were too good for that. They consider themselves as the orthodox. They were the main line, the religious. And because of that, their pride kept themselves away from the kingdom of God. And their jealousy kept people who were going in from entering in. That's their situation. It is just the opposite of what the Lord said on that mount in Matthew 5, the Beatitude. You remember the first Beatitude said, blessed, happy. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. The poor in spirit. Why are they poor in spirit? It is not poor spirit. It is poor in spirit. It is because they know they are nothing. They know nothing. They acknowledge their spiritual poverty. And in that kind of attitude, the kingdom of the heavens is theirs. So you see, the very opposite of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, brothers and sisters, are we poor in spirit? Or do we think ourselves as the orthodox ones? We know everything. And we are right. Only we are right. If we have that kind of attitude, we are hypocrites. This is false spirituality. Brothers and sisters, in Christianity today, there are more scribes and Pharisees than we realize. I wonder whether we ourselves are among the rank. Are we sitting in Moses' seat? Do we think that we are the keeper, the guardian, the interpreter of the law of God? Are we telling people what they should do, and yet we ourselves do not do them? Are we seeking for the glory of man, to be seen, to be praised, to be called rabbis, teachers? Is that our secret desire? Is there pride in our hearts, thinking that we are the elite? We are the people who know. If that is the case, then brothers and sisters, woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. We are not entering into the kingdom of God. And probably our jealousy will keep away people from going in. Orthodoxy can be dead orthodoxy. Now in verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass the sea and the dry land to make one proselyte, and when he is become such, ye make him twofold more the son of hell than yourselves. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were very zealous. They will go to the end of the world to bring in one proselyte. But unfortunately, they do not bring people really to God. They bring people to their tradition, to their own system. And after they got people into their tradition, into their system. They even make them worse than themselves. You know, in the Beatitude, it is a blessed the mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, who are the mourning ones? They refer to people who mourn over their sinfulness, mourn over their weaknesses. They know they are not what they should be. And because they have such an attitude, they shall be comforted. You know, in Isaiah it is said, the heaven and the heavens cannot contain our God. But to the afflicted and the contrite in heart, and those who tremble at His word, God will abide with them. Again, you find these scribes and Pharisees is the opposite of the mournful ones, because they are so confident of themselves. And they are zealous for their tradition. They do not have that right attitude before God. Brothers and sisters, is it possible that we may be also be very zealous? But what are we zealous for? Are we really zealous for the Lord and for His interest, for His kingdom? Are we just zealous for our tradition, for our religious system? You find that many people will fight for their tradition, but they will not fight for the name of the Lord. Religious fanatics. Now, are we such people? Or do we maintain a constant spirit of repentance before the Lord? I do believe that repentance is not just to be done once in a lifetime. I believe repentance is a spirit, is an attitude that we need to keep every day before the Lord. Otherwise, we can easily become a religious fanatic, woe to the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that it sanctifies the gold? This is the third rule that our Lord proclaims over these people. Isn't that strange to your eye, to your ears? When you hear that, they say, well, if you swear by the temple, it is nothing. Now, the temple is where the Lord put His name there. It's the dwelling place of God. But they know, if you swear by the temple, it is nothing. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, then you are a debtor. That's their teaching. You can see from what they teach, their mindset. They are not spiritually minded at all. They do not really see what the temple is. Their mind is on the gold. The gold is more important than the temple. The gold means much more to them than the temple itself. And the same way, they said, well, if you swear by the altar, it is nothing. But if you swear by the gift upon the altar, then you are debtor. And the Lord said, which is greater? The altar that sanctifies the gift or the gift? So their mind, you can see, is a reprobate mind. They look at material things as more important than spiritual things. They look at man's effort, humanistic, more than what is from God. And yet they teach it as if this is the teaching. So the Lord said, you are fools, you're blind. Now in the Beatitude you find the Lord said, blessed are the meek. Now who are the meek? To put it simply, the meek are the teachable. The meek are those people who know that they know nothing. They know very little. And they are teachable. They are humble, low and meek in their heart. But the very opposite of meekness is this attitude of self-importance, self-assurance, self-confidence. And they teach people as law. Such blindness. Brothers and sisters, what is our condition? Are we spiritually minded or are we carnally minded? And if we are carnally minded, our teaching will be in the same situations as you find the scribes and the Pharisees are doing. You're making it ridiculous. How can you consider the gold as more important than the temple? But brothers and sisters, many, many are teaching in the same tenor. And then in verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and ye have left aside the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ye ought to have done and not have left those aside. Blind guides who strain out the knot but drink down the camel. These scribes and Pharisees, they were very careful in paying their tithing. One-tenth of mint, anise, cumin. Even these very small things, they are very careful of paying one-tenth, giving one-tenth to the Lord. And yet the Lord said, there are weightier matters of the law that they completely neglect. judgment, mercy, faith. In other words, they are very legalistic. They are the most legalistic people in the whole world. They keep to the very small letter of the law, and they miss the whole spirit of the law. In the Beatitude, the Lord said, "Blessed are those that are hunger and thirsty after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." In other words, are we hungry for righteousness? Not only Christ, our righteousness. You know, when we come to our Lord Jesus as a sinner, He clothes us with the best robe. That is Himself as our righteousness. But the righteousness in the Beatitude is more than that. Not only we take Christ as our righteousness, but we seek after practical righteousnesses. In other words, because He is righteous, therefore we must be righteous. Righteous in our everyday life. Righteous as the result of Christ being incorporated into our very being. We seek for righteousness. But here you'll find these scribes and Pharisees, they do not seek for righteousness. They just seek for an outward thing. They pay one-tenth of anise, cumin, mint, these things, physical things, and yet they neglect the real thing. So they are hypocrites. They are blind. Dear brothers and sisters, where are we? Are we legalistic? Or are we spiritual? The Lord Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of the heavens. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is just a facade, an outward thing. But they do not have the real righteousness within them. And how easy we can fall into the same trap. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but within they are full of rapine and intemperance. Blind Pharisees, make clean first the inside of the cup and of the dish, that their outside also may become clean. To put it in one word, they are very careful about the external appearance, but they neglect the inward cleanness. They wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of rapine and intemperance. And that's what they are. Everything is just external. There is no internal realness in their life. And in the Beatitude, you find the Lord said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." We who have received the mercy of God, we need to be merciful. Mercy is an inward quality. The Lord said, God does not like love sacrifice. He loves mercy. Those who only look after the outward appearance, the external things, and not the inward reality, these are hypocrites. To put it another way, they are those who are pseudo-spiritual, not real spiritual, but pretend to be spiritual. And then again, you'll find in verse 27, the Lord said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Thus also ye outwardly may appear righteous to men, but within are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They whitewash the tombs, but within the tombs are those rotten bones. In other words, they have the form of godliness, but without the power. The Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who are the pure in heart? They are single-minded towards God. And because they are pure in heart, they see God. And by seeing God, they are being transformed from glory to glory, and be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. These are the true spiritual ones. But people who only attend to the form of godliness and do not have the power of God, that is, the life within them, these are false spirituality. And then in verse 29, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets and adorn the tombs of the just. And ye say, if we have been in the days of our fathers, we will not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So that ye bear witness of yourselves, that ye are sons of those who slew the prophets, and ye fill up, ye up the measure of your fathers. You know these scribes and Pharisees that build the tombs of the martyrs, repair the tombs of the just, thinking that, well, if we were there, we would not do these things. But the Lord turned it around and said, this proves that you are the sons of those who killed the prophets. And as a matter of fact, you filled up the cup of their sin. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are sons of God. Those who are not only at peace with God, but who bring peace among God's people, who bring peace to the world. These are sons of God. But here you'll find these scribes and Pharisees, even though they try to build the sepulchre of these prophets, but they are the very one who persecuted and killed the prophets. And they even want to kill the Savior, our Lord Jesus. These scribes and Pharisees, they were hypocrites. pseudo spiritual. False spirituality. And what a class they are. And finally, the Lord proclaimed his judgment over them. He says, serpents, offspring of vipers, how shall ye escape the judgment of hell? You know, brothers and sisters, even though our Lord Jesus proclaimed wolves to the scribes and Pharisees, he did it not out of hate, but out of love. Yes, he was angry at their pretensions. His spirit was stirred by their hypocrisy. And yet our Lord Jesus did not proclaim these words to them out of hatred. He spoke the truth in love. Hopefully that light may come upon some of the scribes and Pharisees, that they will turn away from their false spirituality and become really spiritual. And that is the intention of our Lord Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be searched by God's light. The psalmist said, in thy light we shall see light. If we surround ourselves with the light that we ourselves kindled, we will lie down in sorrow, because we are deceiving ourselves. But brothers and sisters, if we are willing to expose ourselves under the light of God. Now I know that Matthew chapter 23, you know, as you read it, or as we are fellowshipping on it, it seems that there is a kind of heaviness there. It is heavy. But brothers and sisters, we need to be honest. We need to put ourselves under this light. Even Matthew 23, these sevenfold wolves, we need to put ourselves under this light. Not that we try to examine ourselves, because self-examination, self-introspection only get us to a worse situation. But put ourselves under the light of God's word and let his light search us out. See if there is any pretension, any deception in our lives. See if we think more of ourselves, higher of ourselves than we actually are. You know, sometimes people look at us higher than we really are, or lower than we really are. That's the people's judgment. But whatever it may be, brothers and sisters, we need to put ourselves under the light of God, under his word, and let his word examine us, search us, prove us. And if there is anything that his word would touch you, repent. Because that is the reason why the Lord put these words before us. Thank God. If there is a counterfeit, there is bound to be a genuine thing. You know, in this world, there are so many counterfeits. But thank God, they are truth. They are genuine things in this world too. The same thing is here. In Christianity today, there are so much pseudo spirituality. It's everywhere. But we know this only proof there is true spirituality. So that's what we are going into. It is the will of God for His children to be spiritual. God is spirit. He wants every child of His be spiritual. But remember, He wants us to be spiritual. But He does not want us to be spirits. You know, we have a false concept. We think that to be spiritual, you have to be spirits, like the angels. The angels are spirits. If we can only get rid of this body is evil. If we can only get rid of this body, then we can be spiritual. If we can only be able to get rid of this soul and become soulless, then we become spiritual. It is this body, it is the soul that are evil, that keep us from being spiritual. So, we want to get rid of them in order to be spiritual. Remember, this is heathen philosophy. This is not Christian truth. In heathen philosophy, whether it is Eastern or Western, they consider the body itself as evil. So, the way to overcome evil is to get rid of this body. If you can get rid of this body, then you are free. In heathen philosophy, the evil is the soul. If you can be reduced to be a soulless person, you think not, you feel not, you will not, then you arrive at Nirvana. You are complete. You are spiritual. That's false. That's heathen philosophy. That is not Christian truth. God created us with a spirit, a soul, and a body. As our brother mentioned last night, God created us with a spirit that we may commune with Him, the Spirit. God created us with a soul that we may think, we may feel, we may will. God created us with a body that we may touch, we may know what is around us. This is God's creation. And it is the will of God that our spirit, the order, the divine order is our spirit should be at the top, as the master of the being. Our spirit is in touch with the Spirit of God. And then our soul is the steward. It will receive from the Spirit God's will, God's order. And it will pass down to our body, which is the servant, to act, to do it out. Now this is the divine order. Unfortunately, because of the fall of man, you find that our spirit is dead towards God. You remember in Genesis, God said, on the day that you shall eat the forbidden tree, you shall surely die. Now Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit, but physically they continued hundreds of years. And they begot sons and daughters. They were very much alive, physically and soulically. But their spirit was dead on the day that they ate that forbidden tree. In other words, not that the spirit was not there. They still had the spirit, but the spirit was dead so far as God is concerned. You know, the scientific definition of death is the cessation of communication with its proper environment. That is death. Your body communicates with the physical world. But when your body ceases to communicate with the physical world, that is death. Your spirit, its proper environment is God. When you cease to communicate with your proper environment, God, your spirit is dead. The organ is still there, but it has lost its function towards God. But it hasn't lost its function toward the spirit world. But anyway, you find that at the fall of man, our human spirit becomes dead to God. So what is left is the soul and the body that are active. Man has become flesh. Flesh is the combination of the soul and body without the spirit. Sin enter into man and dwell in the body. So the body becomes the body of sin and of death. It has become the body of sin because it can do nothing but to sin. It has become the body of death because it cannot do what it should do. So it is death. And the soul is so contaminated by sin that the self-life that dwells in the soul is a selfish, corrupted, sinful self. Not that the body itself is evil. It is dwelled by sin that is evil. Not that the soul itself is evil. It is created by God. It is the fallen self as the life of the soul that is evil. So, brothers and sisters, what we need to be delivered is we need to be delivered, first of all, that our spirit needs to be quickened into new life. Then our soul needs to have self dethroned and Christ enthroned. Then our body needs to be delivered from being an instrument of righteousness and of sin into an instrument of righteousness unto God. You know, people today are dealing with the symptoms. They do not deal with the source. Trying to get rid of the body does not solve the problem. Trying to be soulless does not solve the problem. You need to have your spirit quickened, your soul sanctified, and your body delivered. And that is where the salvation of the Lord comes in. The first step towards true spirituality is the quickening of our dead spirit. You know, brothers and sisters, if our dead spirit is not quickened, there is no possibility of being truly spiritual. Because spirituality begins in the spirit. Anything that does not begin from the spirit is a counterfeit. It's false spirituality. People may have beautiful, noble thoughts and ideas. People may see beauty in this universe. People may have very warm feeling, affection. People may have very strong determination and will. They may have a strong determination towards God. They may have a very warm feeling towards God. They may even have a very noble, beautiful thoughts about God. But if it's not originated from the Spirit, it is a substitute, a counterfeit. It is false spirituality. You remember the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. It is true that her soul magnifies the Lord. There is warm feeling towards the Lord. But where does it originate? Not from the mind, from the spirit. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. So, brothers and sisters, anything that does not originate from the Spirit, it comes from the soul as its source. And some soul can really soar very high. It is false spirituality. Anything that does not have its source from the spirit, but from the body. You may be very energetic. You may have good plans. You may be very successful in Christian work. But that does not mean spirituality. It has to come from the spirit. So there is no possibility for people who are not born again to be truly spiritual. No possibility. The first step to true spirituality is new birth. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He that is born of the Holy Spirit is the new Spirit. Our spirit that was dead in sins and transgressions need to be quickened into new life. As Ezekiel 36 says, God said, I will put a new spirit within you. And I will put my spirit within your spirit to cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my ordinances, that you may do them. Brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of true spirituality. Thank God he has begun. Probably with most of us. I wonder if there is anyone here who has not yet trusted the Lord, believed Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me tell you one thing. Unless you're born again, there is no possibility of being truly spiritual. How are we going to be born again? You cannot do it yourself. But when you come to the Lord Jesus, confess your sins, accept him as your Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit will at this very moment touch your dead spirit and bring it to life. Immediately, your communication with your proper environment, God, will be resumed. You will cry out, Abba, Father. And that starts you on the road to true spirituality. Now, brothers and sisters, let me go a little step further. Spirituality has to come from the Spirit. But not everything that comes from even our renewed spirit is spiritual. You know, we may think, well, if it comes from the Spirit, it has to be spiritual. No. It can be false. Because as a matter of fact, spirituality comes from the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of true spirituality. It is He that glorifies Christ. It is He that constitutes, incorporates, builds Christ into your very life. The Holy Spirit is the agent of true spirituality. Now, thank God He dwells in your spirit. Everyone who is born of the Spirit not only has a new spirit, but God said, I will put my spirit into your spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, bearing witness with you that you are children of God. Thank God the Holy Spirit is there in you. And if your spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. Receive from the Holy Spirit. Taught by the Holy Spirit. Then what comes out of your spirit is true spirituality. Otherwise, it can come from the Spirit, but if it's not from the Holy Spirit, it is a counterfeit. In Luke chapter 9, our Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He set his face towards Jerusalem as the lamb going to be sacrificed. That is his spirit. But as they passed through the Samaritan villages, that village will not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. They had such hostility against the Jews. They will not receive the Lord. And you remember the two sons of thunder, James and John, how they thunder. They said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to burn it up like Elijah did? Oh, they have such faith. They believe that if they call fire, fire will come down and burn them up. They have such love and zeal for the Lord. They were all for the Lord. How could people not receive the Lord? That is the only consequence. And you remember what the Lord said? The Lord said, you do not know what spirit you are. The Lord's spirit is the spirit of the Lamb going to be sacrificed. Not the spirit of a lion going to devour. So you find even coming out of the spirit of these two sons of thunders, it is not true spirituality. It is false spirituality. It can do much harm. Why? Because our spirit can be invaded by our soul. When our spirit is invaded by our soul, even if it is good flesh, it contaminates. Not only that, our spirit can also be invaded by the evil spirit. And that's the reason why not everything that comes from the Spirit is true spirituality. It has to come from a spirit that is in subjection, in cooperation to the Holy Spirit who dwells within our spirit. And then you have true spirituality. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 it says, how we need to purify ourselves from the pollution of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So dear brothers and sisters, thank God, it is His will that we be spiritual. And He has opened a way for us to be truly spiritual. It begins with a reborn spirit. And as we learn to be in subjection to the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, then we are on the way to true spirituality. I think this morning we'll just stop here. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank Thee that it is Thy will for us to be spiritual. And thou hast made every provision for us to be truly spiritual to the praise of thy glory. So, Lord, we do pray that thou will continue to examine us, bring us under the light, and open our understanding that we may really be delivered from all that is false and enter into that which is true, that will glorify thy name. We commit ourselves to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.